Thank you. Good morning. Good to see you here. Let's take our green book. Thank you, Marion, for bringing us into this time of worship. This next song has echoes of the story that we sometimes call the story of the road to Emmaus, which was after Jesus died and the disciples are walking to Emmaus. And the words are, "Come, walk with us. The journey is long." It's a walking song. And if you start laughing because you can't get the rhythm quite right, that's good. You need a bit of joy like that. And we'll sing all four stanzas. There's some small print there on the right side underneath. I don't know if I'll sing that. There's a bit of a harmony part, but you guys can sing the harmony, but there's a part two, so anybody who wants to sing that, feel free. All right, where's my guitar?
Good morning. We warmed up, didn't we? We were going. That was really good. Welcome to our service this morning, whether here or online. May the Spirit of God fill you with peace and the yearning for love and understanding. So we're glad to be here and worship. The days are getting longer. It's feeling hopeful. This week, I think many of us have been watching the various athletes and teams competing in a variety of winter sports at the Olympics. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't, since some of us have. I really enjoy watching the faster events, especially the races. Sitting at the edge of my seat waiting to see who's going to win, what will happen. I'm imagining, imagine these athletes having to always focus on, first of all, the finish line, But then always, okay, who's beside me? Who's behind me? How can I keep my spot? Or how can I get ahead? And they're worrying about, while that curve is coming up, what can happen there? You know, it can either, you can make it or break it sometimes, right? And, but they're determined and they persevere to the end. Even those that are stumbling and falling, you see them getting up. They want to get to the end. They want to continue the race. So I was thinking in my mind, the Bible is so full of many images of running, of being in the race, staying focused, encouraging us to stay fit and strong in our faith. So Hebrews 12:1 came to mind, and it gives me new energy and hope and encouragement not to give up. This is what it says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Join me in the call to worship written in your bulletin. I'll read the light print. Please respond with the dark. From the comfort of our Western homes and prosperous lives, we come for a better world for all. In a society divided by power struggles and prejudice, we affirm the power of your healing love. With honesty of our doubts and insecurities, we rejoice in your love for each one of us, seeking your blessing to make us whole. The prayer that I'm going to say, parts of it are written by Carol Penner in her worship materials. Let us pray. God of grace, we come to worship for a glimpse of your kingdom of kindness, a world where love rules over all, a world where enemies embrace, a world where the distinctions between friend and foe evaporate in the light of your love. Knowing you have the power to transform us, we give our lives over to you, body, soul, mind, and spirit. We pray, Lord, that you may open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our minds to try and understand what your will may be for us this day and in the week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
So let's get ready for the screen that's going to show the song. We tried this one 3 weeks ago. Those of you who like to use books, I'm one of them, there are some at the back, and you're always welcome to pick those up. That's kind of the next generation of hymn books. If we put them all on a shelf, there's quite a few of them there if you go all the way back to the 1500s. So, you know, people had different opinions on them for sure all the way along, but there's some new stuff in there. The one that I tried to sing for you and maybe taught you a little bit a few weeks ago is called All of Our Praise. It comes from Indonesia. And we'll try that. But Ike, I'm thinking maybe we should just go back.
All our praise and glory only are.
Thank you for that singing. I always find new songs are strange, and sometimes they become friends, and sometimes they just become acquaintances. So we'll see. Number 16 in our green book. Number 16, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. That's what's being talked about here. Stanza 1, 2, and 3. Sometimes we talk about the Trinity as Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Holy Spirit is verse 3. And then verse 4 is a summary. It's an encouragement. We're encouraging each other to praise God. Maybe not always what we think. We know God is great and God is good as we pray sometimes. But this one gives us more detail about who God is.
Good morning and welcome here to those seated in our presence and those seated elsewhere. You are all very welcome, having come to join us together as one body, as one community, worshiping and praising God. And some here or some at home may feel like, I'm not exactly in that place. I wouldn't say I'm here praising or worshiping. I'm in a hard place. I'm in a dangerous place. Maybe I'm in a wilderness, a dry wilderness of my faith. Or I don't even know where I am. I just happen to be here. Well, you are welcome. In whatever situation you find yourself, God welcomes you, and so we also welcome you wherever you are. There are lots of opportunities posted here in the bulletin, and there might be some other people that are ready to say, I have other opportunities also that I want to share. or opportunities for prayer. So we'll get to that. I will start with the first side of the first half of the bulletin underneath the order of service. Today, you do not have the opportunity to listen to the radio and hear our broadcast because you're here. I don't want anyone rushing out and trying to hear it on the radio instead of sitting here and paying attention. But for those who are at home and are listening to the radio, they will hear a different broadcast. But right underneath there, we have Tuesday at 9:30, the gathering together of those who want to work in the basement, work on those quilts, the tide quilting / blanket making for MCC. We're trying to be safe, but we are eager to be together. And I have been told that the total there has reached 37 plus 9 almost. If you want to know what that means, just go downstairs and take a look. Now, up until Friday, you could have seen a vast array of the quilts that had already been made. They were displayed on the chairs that are lining the east wall. However, they're now in bags. They are ready to make their journey to Saskatoon office. So now you're going to have to wait for another batch of quilts. It's just fantastic just to go downstairs and look at the variety and just imagine all of the hours of work and pleasure that have gone into it. And it is. And it's so encouraging to me when I see more and more and more people being involved in so many different ways. You don't have to spend the whole day. You could come even just for an hour or a half hour and just to watch and say, I'm interested. I want to see what you guys do here. So everybody is welcome if you have any time throughout Tuesday or even other times of the week, as some of us know. On the top of the second page, you might wonder, what is going on there? Friday 7, Saturday 10 and 2, and Sunday sermon. That is next weekend, our portable. So it's going to be very portable since Harry Huebner is going to stay in Manitoba. And he will broadcast from there, and he will present to us this portable weekend, proclaiming Jesus Christ in a religiously plural world. You can gather here, and we will watch the screen together. It'll be Zoom. Or if you want to stay at home, I'm sure you can. Oh, I don't even want to promise what you can do and what you can't do, because I'm not in charge of all of that IT stuff. So it's best to play it safe and just come and be here, and then we will see it broadcast. And that's what those times are. Friday at 7, and then Saturday at 10, and again at 2, and then he will present the sermon on Sunday. If you have questions, just let us know in the office and we'll try to find answers for you. Beneath the Pray For box, MCC Connects, you are invited to continue praying for the situation in Ukraine. There's a little description of MCC's vested interest and our vested interest. And if you look at the back of your bulletin, you see a special litany prayer. If you don't know how to pray for Ukraine or this situation, because we don't know all of the facets of what is going on, but we know it's a time for the church to rally together and to seriously pray for our world and for the agents that have received power to rule their countries at this time. Beneath that, you have an opportunity to pray for a variety of different things. The Sunday School Department is encouraging us to pray in different ways, week 1, week 2, week 3. And if you're wondering what that tree is all about, out that back door where I'm pointing now, I'm sort of pointing at Bart, but right behind him, there is a green tree, and that is the Sunday School display for our prayer encouragement. Now, we're trying to have you not clump together after the service in the foyer, and yet this almost invites clumping, doesn't it? You get together there, you stand to read something, you see someone stop and you say, oh, what are you reading? And then suddenly there's two or three. And where two or three are gathered, we know what happens. But this is a good thing. So it's there on that back wall. Join my team. This is not me that is speaking here. This is a challenge and invitation by Grace. And she mentioned it to me, and I said, yes, go for it, to join the Zion Mennonite Church team. That's the name, very original. And this is for a walk-a-thon. You don't have to walk. You can walk. Grace walks. But if you're going to walk with Grace, there can't be too much talking or chatting, because she's serious about her walking. And she's going to go, and she'll leave you in her dust if you want to hold her back. But if you want to join that team and raise funds for the center. So that's what it's all about. And she has proposed a challenge for some other teams. If you want to know more about the challenge, ask her, she'll describe it. That's what got me excited. I always like a good challenge. So there are some of our opportunities. Would anyone like to bring other opportunities for our prayer and our consideration?
Number 50 in our purple book, number 50, come bring your burdens to God. We will sing it twice.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, you've heard our sung prayer. You've heard the words we've said with our lips. You've heard our hearts crying out to you, not only this morning, but throughout all of the days leading up to today. And now, as a community, we join together. We pray with others who are also praying, the other churches in Swift Current, as well as our other Mennonite Church partners, especially today Fisk Mennonite Church and their pastors. We raise our songs of praise and acknowledgement that you are God, and we worship you, and we know that you have all power. And for that reason, we also raise our concerns about these other powers that be, especially in Ukraine and Russia today. We pray that you would bring your peace, work in that situation as you already are. We are confused about it, and yet we do not want to see any harm come to anyone. We don't know who's right and who's wrong, what should happen and what shouldn't happen, but we pray for peace. We pray for your intervention, the way we have prayed for your intervention in health issues, and you have heard us. We've had answers to prayer, and for this we rejoice. We rejoice with families of those who have had successful surgeries and procedures, who have come through illnesses and are well again. And we praise you because we know that you are the healer. We pray that you would also heal the hearts of those who say, I prayed and I did not receive the answer to my prayer. You know your ways, and we pray for all who are hurting for the lost, those who have passed away, those who are still struggling in life because their health has not returned, those who struggle with addictions or mental health. So many of us, right here in this hospital that we call a church, we are also struggling against sin and the effects of sin and the effects of human choices. We ask that you would intervene constantly in our lives. Guide us in the choices that we make, the way that we perceive your world and all others in it. We thank you for the opportunities that we have to participate in your ministry, so many that we've spoken about here already this morning, and we ask that you would bless those ventures, the way we ask for your blessing on the monetary offerings that have been brought today and throughout this week, or the ones that have been given in so many different ways. Thank you for urging us by your Holy Spirit to give and to keep giving and to release everything that you have given us for the blessing of the nations, for our neighbors, for all those around us. Because you have taught us to pray, and so we pray the way your disciples always have. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
In our blue book, How Blessed Are They? It's a song that's based on our scriptures for today, Psalm 1 and Nehemiah 17. In God's eyes, our worship is not just about Sunday morning, but on how we live our life and how we treat our neighbor, both near and far away. Let's stand and sing this song.
The scripture today is from Jeremiah 17, chapter 17, verse 5 to 10, and I'm reading from the New RSV. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes. Its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. And from Luke chapter 6, verses 17 to 26. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Socks for Christmas. Some of you are probably thinking we're well past Christmas. We are leaning into the Easter season. What are you talking about? Are we going backwards? Well, I hope and I think you will be able to follow my line of reasoning eventually. And if not, well, I'll try again next Sunday. Oh no, Harry will try next Sunday. I'll try again the Sunday after that. But socks for Christmas can mean different things to different people. And I had something very clear in my mind. And then I had two other kinds of responses to it that I wasn't expecting. For one, Grace mentioned that she had watched a movie called Shoelaces for Christmas, in which someone was very grateful and happy to have received the simple gift of shoelaces for Christmas because the daughter had shoes but no laces for those shoes. Another kind of response to Socks for Christmas came from, I believe it was Claire Ewart Fisher, who speaks about Mount Royal in Saskatoon, and she reminds us that many people who are homeless are very grateful to have socks for Christmas. That is the thing most requested for donations for homeless shelters in the city of Saskatoon, and probably elsewhere as well. My initial suggestion of socks for Christmas came from a very different place, and it came kind of as a response to the text in Luke that Shirley just read. I'm going to use both of the texts, the one in Luke and the one in Jeremiah, and if you have time throughout the week, I'd like for you to read those two together. You know, the Jeremiah one is very similar to the Psalm 1 passage that Ken alluded to, also in today's lectionary passage. You know, blessed is the one who does this and this and this. Cursed is the one who does this and this. And their lives look very different. That's what the Jeremiah passage suggests and foretells the future. And Jesus really says the same thing in different words, in different ways. So we'll start with Jesus speaking in Luke. But I recognize, and maybe some of you recognize the same thing with me, that when we read this passage, you know, when Jesus said, blessed are you, I'm looking at Luke 6 now, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom. I think, oh, blessed are you who are hungry. Oh, this doesn't sound like very good news. Somehow this doesn't make me feel very happy or comfortable or encouraged. And I feel like what I have seen or maybe even experienced when someone is giving you a gift for Christmas, or maybe your parents who know better, and they wrap a perfect gift for you, and it ends up being socks. And you open it and you're just like, oh, I wanted that bright red wagon for Christmas. I wanted that racetrack. I wanted that Barbie camper van. You know, all of these different glitzy things that make us very excited. And we're looking forward to Christmas, to that day when we'll receive something from the one who can give us. And then we get socks and our hearts sink. And we feel disappointed. So here, as we're walking with Jesus in this season, after Christmas, we're still in the season of Epiphany, Epiphany plus a number, until we get to the Easter season. Here we walk with Jesus, the Jesus that is the love and joy and peace and everything that we were singing about at Christmas, and what do we get out of it? And for those of us who are a little bit honest, we might say, we feel a little let down maybe with this passage. Now, maybe some of you are not in that place. That's fine. Just bear with those of us who recognize a little bit of disappointment, either in this passage or even in the Matthew 5 passage, the Sermon on the Mount, right? The problem is, well, you could ask, why? Why do I feel disappointed? Why am I let down? First of all, I have to recognize that I am deflated. I'm a little bit disappointed. And then I have to ask why. I need to pay attention to that. And so these texts, the text where Jesus is speaking and also where Jeremiah is speaking, because we know Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy, why are we disappointed in what Jesus brings? Jesus says we need to know ourselves. We need to be able to recognize what position we are actually in. Then, once we can recognize where we're at, then Jesus is able to bring his healing. You know, if you don't go to the doctor's not going to come to you. Knock on your door. Do you need an examination by any chance? We need to have some form, at least a little bit, of self-awareness to recognize our own need, recognize our own situation. Then the healer can heal us and also invite us into his ministry of healing. So that's the direction. That's our trajectory. But we can't really get there unless we see the first step, the very beginning, and recognize that socks leave us feeling disappointed. But we need to know. We need to know our situation. So you could say, okay, I need to know my stocking hung by the, where is it hung again? Hung, I want to say the curtain, that's not right. Stockings are hung, chimney. Okay, that's wherever your stockings are hung, you need to be able to recognize which one is yours. And if you have siblings, you don't want the stockings mixed up. And usually you have your name on your stocking or some form that marks it as yours. Your heart is that individual stocking. That you are unique and your own being. And Jesus invites you to look into that along with him and see what is in there. Know your stocking, know your size, be self-aware. So what is it that I want? What have I come here for? What do I come to Jesus for? Is it for my own comforts, for my own status, for my own position in the church or in society? Am I looking back and longing for what I used to have and I haven't gotten yet? What is it that I really want? Do I want comfort, security, strength? And am I trying to attain those? Because when I want something, I usually take steps to get it. So let's examine our hearts and turn to Jeremiah, because Jeremiah reminds everyone who listens that the heart, that's where our desires are resting. And that heart, sorry to tell you this on Valentine's Day weekend, but our hearts are devious. Your heart is fooling you. Your heart is tricking you. Not anyone else, well, maybe them also, but your own heart is leading you astray. And if you say, no, Pastor, that's for some others. Hear what Jeremiah has to say. Verse 9, the heart is devious above all else. It's perverse. So every time you go into a store, this weekend especially, and you see hearts, be reminded, the heart is devious. The heart is devious above all else. Now, I don't want you to get this, you know, frown on your face and say, ooh, the heart is so devious. No, this is just the knowing. Because knowledge helps us to learn and to change and to follow where Jesus actually wants us to go. But we'll never see that if we're not ready to realize my own heart is leading me astray. I think I am doing X, Y, and Z, and I am going in a good direction. I am following all of the commandments. Remember how that one goes? Where the rich young man goes to Jesus, what else do I have to do to get the kingdom? And he says, follow the commandments. Oh, I've done all of that. 1 through 10. Check, check, check. Wonderful. His heart was leading him astray. And our hearts do the same thing. Our devious heart is causing us our own problems. And maybe we don't even know what our heart is leading us into. I don't know where my heart is leading me. And if it's so devious, what can I do about it? Good news! Who knows the heart? God knows. If you say, I don't know my heart, wonderful, excellent, because God knows. Right there it says, the heart is devious. Who can understand it? Question mark. Answer, verse 10. I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart. I know your hearts. Oh, I can give you a long list of scripture passages that remind us God knows our hearts. God knows our hearts. We don't have to find the answer and then bring it to God. Sometimes we expose ourselves even in our prayers, the way that we pray for ourselves, or the prayers we pray for other people, that we want them to have certain things. That shows what our true desire is for ourselves and for our loved ones. I'll give you a few. Psalm 139, verse 2. Romans 8:27, Psalm 7, verse 9, 1 Kings 8:39, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. I'll just stop here. I've got at least 10 more here. Throughout the Bible, God is reminding us, I know your heart. I know your heart. And your heart is devious. And your heart is going to lead you to do things or desire things or strive for things. And what will the result be? Well, Jeremiah says very clearly, oh, what's going to happen? If we are desiring those things, if we're following our heart, we're going to end up, actually, I thought it was like a tumbleweed. You see those blowing across the road, not so much these days, but those dry things, they're all twisted in themselves, and the wind blows them along, no roots. Following this, the wind blows that way, following that, and not having anything stable holding them in place. Their roots aren't going down. And even when relief comes, the relief is there, they don't realize it. Because I'm so concerned with these other things. That's how devious my heart is, that it's going to lead me to become like that dry tumbleweed. I don't want a dried up tumbleweed life that gets blown all over the place. I want a life that is rooted and stable and is bringing fruit and is producing leaves. That's the other option. Another aspect of this knowing, I want to suggest very lightly, you can disagree with this, but I have a feeling that maybe even we here in the church, that we have actually kidnapped Jesus. That we have taken Jesus, recognizing there is power there, and Jesus is the means for all of the things we desire. And so we have taken Jesus and kept him to ourselves for our comfort and stability and assurance and, oh, he won't let this church die, this is Jesus' church, and. Whatever that devious heart is telling us. For our own devious means. What is it that concerns you today? That's your heart telling you, you need this. You need this. You are hungry. You need to be fed. And what is it that concerns me today? Well, he is able. He is able. You know that song? He's able. He is able, but what is it that concerns me? There is the root, there is the heart, that devious heart, that Jeremiah says, your hearts have turned away from me. And our hearts are always turning. So if you are thinking, oh, my heart, my devious heart has turned, don't worry. Say, hallelujah, this is the invitation to realize, oh yeah, my heart is turned. This is our opportunity. This is why we come here today. This is why we join together in this service, not because we're super holy, but because we do have devious hearts that turn us away, and we want to be turned back. And Jesus is inviting us, turn back. I know your hearts. Just say, yep, that's right. I desire to have a fulfilling life, but my heart is saying, do it by X, Y, and Z. Do it in this means, and it's going to end up poorly. Rather, Jesus says, I have come to heal you. I have come to bring you fullness of life. So if you're still thinking about your socks for Christmas, you're still a little disappointed, think about the heels of your socks, and Jesus will heal you. Go ahead, groan. I'm here all week. But Jesus is here to heal us. This is the good news. Only when we say we don't need healing that it's not good news for us, but when we are ready to admit together with God that our hearts are turning, we are also invited to turn back. Because, you know, like a good car, it doesn't only turn in one direction. I know a while back, Anna had a problem with her van. That was probably last year or something. It would only turn one direction. Not good. You end up going in a circle. You need to be able to turn the other way. And that's what Jesus' healing does. To turn your hearts back to him. Constantly turn. Oh, you know what that reminds me of? And probably some of you too. Curling. I try not to be reminded of that, but Marian does a very good job of reminding me continuously. And you see that big, huge rock, what does it do? It doesn't just go straight, it's always turning, turning, turning. And just a tiny bit off, and suddenly it's going into, I don't know where, I'll stop all of those illusions. But think for yourself. This is like a curling match. And what is it that we are aiming for? I've been asking myself all week, what is it in these different actions that I'm aiming for and that pushes me then to say and to do? Am I aiming for the best parking spot, the best deal at the grocery store? I want to be first in line. I want, you know, all of these different things. Those are very simple examples. But Jesus says, I am ready. I'm ready to heal you. Luke 6. Has very comforting words. If we look at verse 17, he came down with them. Jesus is right there with us, walking alongside of us in the challenges that we face, even with our own selves. Came down with them. And he stood on a level place. We're always trying to do rock climbing or zip lining. We're going up, we're going down, we're going places. And Jesus just stood on a level ground together with them. He was there with them, and not only them. This is the whole world. Look at this great multitude together with his disciples. Jesus is not only ours. Jesus is for the healing of the nations, for the entire world. The multitudes that are there yearning and longing for what Jesus brings. The different countries, the different cities from the coast, and we say in Canada, from coast to coast to coast. All of these people longing for the healing, for the life that Jesus brings. They had come to hear, to be healed, to be cleansed, and they wanted to touch him because power is there. This is the same Jesus we are worshiping today. That's where power is. Power in life is in Jesus. He's together with us. Ready to heal us, and then inviting us into Jesus' ministry. That's what we're all about. When our hearts lead us astray, the ministry is empty, and there's no reward in it. We feel like, oh, I worked so hard, and I didn't get anything out of that. Jesus is already at work. Jesus has the ministry that we join together in. We don't have to rewrite the whole thing. We just have to hear Jesus' invitation. Socks for Christmas. I want to want what Jesus wants. And I recognize that my heart goes astray and wants some other shiny things, exciting things. I want a life of fullness where my roots go down to the stream so that even when the heat comes, as Jeremiah says, it's not anxious for me. I don't become anxious when there's drought, when I don't have all of the things coming in. I don't need to be anxious because my roots have gone down to the stream and I reach for that living water that is Jesus. I want to want what Jesus wants. Jesus' concerns need to become my concerns. Jesus is concerned about the poor. Jesus is concerned about those who need healing. Jesus is concerned about those who are captured. Those are the concerns of Jesus' ministry, and those need to become my concerns. Jesus can accomplish what concerns you today. And we pray that as followers of Jesus, that Jesus' concerns would really and truly, from the heart, become our concerns. And then all those other things, they'll take care of themselves. What does Jesus bring us? What is Jesus offering all of us? He's bringing the kingdom. He's bringing filling. He's bringing laughter, believe it or not, and great reward. That sounds like something to truly celebrate. You devious heart, you be quiet. You can't convince me of something else. Jesus said, look, I am concerned because I want to bring the kingdom. I want to fill you up, you hungry people. I want to bring laughter and great reward. We just need to keep in mind our devious turning hearts and turn it back to Jesus. Turn it back and be invited to join Jesus' ministry. What are we aiming for in this life? Amen.
Thank you, Lois, for bringing us back to the basics and helping us, reminding us to turn to Jesus. Let's take our blue book to the song, Now Go Forward, Press Toward the Goal. It's 399, and it has echoes of Jesus saying, hey, there's a plentiful harvest out there. It also has the echoes of Paul, who said, I lay aside things so that I can strive for the goal of the call of Jesus. So let's stand and we'll sing 399.
Please bow for the benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do his will, working among us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, To whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Move in our midst. Same book, 418. Here again we have echoes of stories. If you remember, sometimes we call it the Transfiguration, where James, John, and Peter were brought up to the mountain with Jesus. And then there was a transfiguration, and Jesus was talking to Moses and Elijah. That's the one story I think of, or the other story where Jesus fell asleep, really deep sleep, in the boat, and a storm came, and the disciples were worried. But this song is a prayer that God do things. There's so many verbs in here. It's a prayer that God move, touch, go, walk, guide, show, transform, lead, strike, lift, and teach. And that's just the first three stanzas. So let's sing this song. Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.